Welcome to the Soul Gym. We are your Soul Gym sisters, your hosts and inner strength coaches. Hey, the Soul Gym is for people who want to transform their life by training their mind because they know that lasting change begins on the inside and works its way out. Hey, this show will challenge and inspire you to step into the audacious plan God has for your life. So come on, it is time to develop some mental muscle. It's game time. Let's go. Hey, welcome to the Soul Gym. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Jody.
Hey, we are so glad you're here this week.
Yes, huh? We are.
This is the place to get strong inside and out. That's why we always talk about mental muscle and developing that inner strength. Why?
We need it.
Huh? And you've got a big audacious plan that God wants you to fulfill. Mm-hmm. So, again, welcome to the Soul Gym. You know, with everything that's going on in the world, we are here to talk about 10 reasons to have joy. What is joy? You know, I think we sometimes blow it off as though it's some, you know, small, sweet, kind of cute little thing. And it's anything but that.
Yes.
Joy is a powerful godly force.
Yes.
And joy gives you such confidence. When you have true joy, it's that we are so assured of God's favor and his grace in our life. It comes with great expectation. It's not based in circumstances, because if it was, it wouldn't be true joy. It would be kind of a fleeting happiness. And so we're talking about the power of joy in your life this week. So, number 10, huh? Number 10, joy. In Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. There it is. There's your mental muscle right there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know, I love to do research and find studies, and really, people who have more joy. Sorry, I get that weird whistle sometimes. What is happening?
I wish I could do
it. Wish. Okay, when you have joy, it lowers stress in your life, of course. It lowers your risk for heart attack, lowers your blood pressure, boosts immunity, sharpens focus. There's just some practical why you should get some joy going in your life. Okay, that's number 10. Number 9, joy in challenging times develops patience.
And we need patience.
And we hate that word, patience, much of the time.
Patience is another word for endurance.
Yeah.
You know, when you have joy, it helps you not want to quit.
Yep.
Because when you're sad and you're depressed and you're down and you're out, guess what? You're going to want to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So joy is your inner strength. So that means if you're strong on the inside, you're going through life strong, not wanting to quit. The devil can't defeat you.
Yep.
You have strength to live.
Absolutely. And patience, like you were saying, that perseverance, it's being consistent.
Yeah.
You know, it's just being consistent in our behavior. Yep. We're not up one day and down the next. I mean, joy sees the finish line. You know, so we stay consistent. And it says that when patience has her perfect work in us, guess what?
You may be perfect and entire wanting nothing.
You got everything. Because you're practicing this powerful, powerful thing called joy. Okay, so joy is our strength. Joy develops patience. Number 8, joy comes when we obey God's commands.
Yep.
You were talking about your kids.
Yes.
And being pleased.
Let me read John. Oh, boy. Hang on. John.
What? You're not ready?
I know it. I have another scripture sitting here. John.
It's all right. Bear 15. With us. It's worth it.
Let's see. Hang on.
So John, joy comes when we obey when God's we obey commands.
God. Yes.
Yes. You're it not
says,
hiding.
Yes. John 15:10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you," now listen, "keeping his commandments, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Take, for example, your relationship with your kids. You know, I know a lot of people realize that God loves them no matter what, but he's not always pleased with us.
Yep.
Oh, that might, you know, I know a lot of people just believe that they can do whatever they want and the relationship, God loves me.
Yeah.
And I think that has been a stumbling block for a lot of people. I know God loves me, so I can do whatever I want. And it's the same no matter what. Take, for example, your relationship with your kids. You will always love them. You will always care about them. But are you always pleased with them? So you're telling me that your child will disobey and not listen, not respect, yet you're still pleased with them. Especially if it's a teenager, it is really going to affect the communion you can have with them, the fellowship you can have with them, and the pleasure that you can have with your child.
Right.
The same goes with you and God. You know, there is nothing like God being pleased with you. When you know you're obeying, you know there's nothing going on between you that's keeping his pleasure from you. You are in right relationship mm-hmm. with him. You're doing what you know to do, and you actually can feel the pleasure of God. That's why he said, if you obey me, you will abide in my love. You will experience his love. I've heard a lot of people go, well, I never experienced God. I don't sense him. I don't feel him. I don't ever know he's around. Try obeying him. Try fellowshipping with him. Try listening to his voice, and he will give you instruction. And as you walk it out, you will sense his pleasure with you. And there ain't nothing like it.
That's
so there's nothing on this planet worth forfeiting the pleasure
Amen.
Of God. Have we all disobeyed? Yes. And we know that
yep.
feeling of displeasure. We know we're not right.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're not pleasing God. The same with our parents. You knew when you were disobeying them, it just didn't feel the same.
Right.
But when you were obeying and in step with the family and doing the right thing, everything seems to be joyful.
Exactly. Yep. So joy comes when we obey what God tells
yes.
us to do. Number 7, joy is fruity.
Fruity.
Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And so it's part of God's character. And so that fruit of joy is already put in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be cultivated. You know, it's a seed. It's put in seed form, and so it needs to be cultivated. And you do that by beginning to apply these things that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Start abiding in, you know, in God, and you will begin to grow that seed of joy. And so it is part of God's character. If you are a Christian, it's a part of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so just start to, and we'll get here just in the next one, we'll talk about a few things on how you can cultivate joy in your life. So joy is a fruit. Next, number 6. So joy is in you, but it's got to be cultivated and it's got to be released or stirred up. You know, scripture talks about stirring ourselves up because, man, life can get stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
It can get, I mean, if 2020 is unlike anything I've ever seen in my
mm-hmm.
life. And so, boy, do you have to be on guard and stirring yourself up, you know, growing that joy. We talk about praise all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing will get you into the presence of God. Nothing will get you off of yourself than praise, music, then, you know, what I like to do is I keep a gratitude journal, and I like at times just to go back
mm-hmm.
and go, look at God, You know, you did that and you did that and you did that to remember those things that God has done. Boy, that'll put a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. That'll remind you that God has not left you. He's right there with you. Who was it that dances?
Was it Smith Wigglesworth?
I think it was.
They asked him what was the key to his joy and why he was so strong in the Lord. And he said the first thing he does in the morning is dance before the Lord for 10 minutes. I mean, how different would our lives be? The first thing we got out of bed, we just started turning on music and dancing.
Ooh, I love it. Get the joy, juices flowing or what? I mean, it can be done in prayer. I think great joy comes when you just know you're in your mojo.
Yeah.
You know, you're in your gifting and you are, helping other people. You know, to me, that's what a gift is, mm-hmm. is to use it in helping, serve someone else. When you help make someone else's dream come true, man, yours can't help but come true. No greater joy than that. Mm-hmm. And then appreciating the little things. Boy, we can take life so for granted. Mm. We always talk about gratitude, but to appreciate, Jody and I have been getting up so early and to really appreciate the sun rising.
Yeah.
To appreciate a good cup of coffee, to not take those things for granted. And so I think, joy is released when we are grateful and appreciate the little things.
Because nothing's owed to us.
Nothing.
When you start going down that road, that my home's owed to me, my car's owed to me, these kids are owed, then you're not grateful.
Yeah.
But remind yourself, the first thing in the morning, I'm grateful for my bed.
Right.
I'm grateful for the roof over my head. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for these kids. And your attitude will just go in the joy direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So own that morning. We talk about it all the time. Own that morning. All right. Number 5. I like this one. Mm-hmm. Joy. When you are operating in joy, it takes the target off your back.
Ooh.
And you were talking about this. That devil.
Yeah. What is the opposite of joy? I would say depression, despair,
right.
Sadness. And I believe when you're in that state, you have a big old target on your back. Because think about it. We've all been there.
Yep.
We've all let the devil come in and beat our brains in with hopelessness and despair and feeling sorry for yourself. Where does that lead you? Yeah, I mean, do you ever get, do you ever depress yourself into a miracle? Whoa, look at that. I'm so depressed, a miracle.
Yes.
It just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what happens is it only gets worse until you just shake yourself out of that and go, no more. There's never been a time where it's okay to be depressed. And hear me. I know really big, bad things happen to people.
Right.
I know there's divorce. I know there's death. I know there's destruction all around us. But we have wasted so much time wallowing in that and despairing in that and the hopelessness in that. And why do you have a target on your back? When you're in that, you have no strength.
Mm-mm.
You're only getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And you are susceptible to anything,
right?
Anything the devil suggests to you, that's where people get suicidal.
Yep.
You can get so low that the devil will convince you life ain't worth living. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. That is why just even a little bit of sadness is dangerous.
A little bit of self-pity.
Yeah, a little bit of self-pity, a little bit of despair. I mean, this is real dangerous stuff. So the second you feel yourself sinking into that, going in that direction, there are two roads, the path of joy and hope and gladness or sadness, loss, despair.
Right.
And the Bible says the sorrow of the world brings death.
Mm.
I mean, so right there, anything in that world that tries to drag you down says you have a right to be depressed. You have a right to be sad. If you only knew what I was going through, you wouldn't say, oh, get happy, get joyful. Well, I've been through some things too. And other people have been through some things. You're not the only person who something bad has happened to. And see, that's what the devil does too.
No one has as hard as you.
No one knows what you've been through.
And what does it say? It's common.
It's common.
What we go through is common.
Yes.
We don't want to hear that.
I know. These problems, many, 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 many people all over the world have faced it.
Right.
Abandonment, divorce, abuse, loss, destruction, many. And I guarantee you, many have handled it better than a lot of us have handled it. I'm not saying, you know, I would do it any better, any different, but if I obeyed the Bible, you know, he doesn't give us much of an option but to get happy in him, no matter what.
Right.
Because it's dangerous.
Exactly. Exactly. So, get that target off your back.
Get it off.
Get it, decide today. It's joy is a decision.
Yep.
You know, it's not based on our circumstances. Joy is
a feeling.
Yep, it's not a feeling. It is once you tap into it, it is a powerful, powerful source of strength.
Yep.
Okay, so number four, joy brings wholeness and harmony with God because God is a God of hope. And if anything has been stripped from people this year, sadly, it's their hope.
Yes.
Hope that things are going to get better. Hope that these lockdowns aren't, you know, coming again. Hope, you know, and people, like you said, it kind of tags off the last one. People can just find themselves in despair, but we are here to tell you, you can't lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
God is a God of hope, because if you lose hope, you can't operate in faith. If you lose hope, man, getting joy and peace is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
God is a God of hope. We want to encourage you today. Just reach out and you will notice that joy and that peace and that wholeness and communion with God returning. So don't listen to that devil.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get that target off your back. And you focus on the God of hope. There is great hope today. There is an answer for anything that you're going through. So listen to the God of hope. Number three, joy. I rent that whistle a little bit again. Joy is really attractive.
It is very attractive.
So if you are having a hard time getting a date, if you just are like, I cannot attract
the right.
I attract these losers. I attract these, you know, just grumpy old men or, you know, sour old women, whatever. I'm telling you, put your joy on. Because I was looking at all kinds of studies that say, come on, when you're joyful and you're confident. You know God's coming through. I mean, there is just a confidence that radiates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just hot.
Yeah. And
that's just hot.
There's nothing that makes people run than saltiness.
Yes. Oh.
I mean, like, I see a lot of teenagers, you know, and
they're wanting to brood.
Like, attract each other.
What's that vampire movie?
Yeah, Twilight.
They're just all brooding.
I'm dark. And, you know, and I want a boyfriend. I want a girlfriend. I'm like, smile. Try smiling.
So true.
You know, crack your mouth open and laugh once in a while.
It's so, so true. Brooding.
Yeah.
And you wanting somebody to rescue you. No.
I know it.
You got the goods. You got everything you need. You got God. You don't need someone to rescue you. You're just brooding through life. So joy is really attractive. I'm telling you, people who are joyful are confident. People who are joyful, it says, take better care of themselves. I mean, come on. When you are confident and when you, you know, are upbeat, you probably wear better clothes. You probably have better...
Brush your teeth.
Yeah. You got something to look forward to. So you're taking care of yourself. So seek out, you know, the joyful people. Joyful people care about others. Obviously, they laugh and have more fun. And I just think that is one of the most attractive things on the planet.
Yep.
Joyful people are more sincere. And kind of tagging off of what we talked about earlier, they're not whiners or complainers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be positive and negative at the same time.
You can't.
It doesn't work. I know that sounds just, you know, like an epiphany, but that's how it works. I mean, you can't be negative, whining, and complaining and be a joyful person. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't work.
That'll
like that.
Zap your joy real quick.
Oh, yeah.
When you start complaining.
Yep.
I mean, I can have like a great morning and be in the presence of the Lord and wow, God, you're great. And then start complaining.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And then it's like unplugging a bathtub. There goes all my joy.
Exactly.
Like, stop this.
And that's what we're saying. You can flip on a dime.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Something can be said, you know, somebody sends you a nasty on Facebook or Twitter, yeah, anything. Your kid could say something, and boy, your joy can take a dive in a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
So we're always saying, just be aware.
You have to guard it.
You do.
You have to guard this force that's inside
that's
you.
Right.
And we're going to talk about it later, how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So joy is very, very attractive. Number two, joy brings good news. There is really only one way that this is legit, that this powerful, you know, force of the universe, you know, actually happens, and it's through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It talks about the joy of my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that happen? We confess our sins before God, and we invite Him to be the Lord of our life. I mean, God made it so simple. Jesus died, I mean, so that we could have eternal life. Come on, everybody on the planet, even if you're a non-Christian, probably knows John 3:16.
Uh-huh.
Jesus came. He loves you. He died for you. And right here is where true joy, it's the only true joy, is through Jesus.
Yeah, that life of God that's in your spirit. Yeah, you can only have this kind of spiritual force when He lives on the inside
of you.
If He doesn't live on the inside of you, it can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you want it to happen, accept Jesus today. And I'm telling you, you are headed down a very, very cool path.
Yes.
All right. So that was number two. Joy brings good news. All right. Here's our final.
It brings us great joy.
Look at the joy. Number one, we don't mean it to be over Jesus. We didn't. This is, we're kind of laughing
Jesus
here.
Is number
two. We don't mean Jesus to be number two.
Maybe he should have been number one.
yeah, it should have. But it's a funny. So we got to finish with this. Have joy when Donald Trump wins. when he gets four more years. Why do we say that? Because look, Trump gets in, school choice.
Oh,
we stop the indoctrination to hate America and to pit people based on the color of their skin, because God said there's no Jew, no Greek, no male, no. He sees us as His dear, sweet creatures. But what has happened? We're being pitted against each other based on race, on sex. That's not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, school choice. I said last week. We have been praying for school choice for years and years and years. And in that school choice, a patriotic curriculum.
Yeah.
To make it okay that we love America.
Yes.
That you're happy to be a citizen. That you are grateful for the rights and the people who went before us and gave their life for this country. To be grateful for that. In a Trump 2020, that's part of what this means. How about protecting the unborn, or God forbid, the newly born? I cannot, there's no wrapping my mind that you could actually kill a baby after it's born. That is murder. And so to say that Trump will get rid of that is like, I can't even believe it.
I know it.
How about continued peace in the Middle East?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're in tune at all, there's at least three or four Middle East countries who have made peace with Israel. That's going to continue.
You know, I was one of these pro-war people.
I was too.
Donald Trump.
I got to be honest.
You know, there are just wars.
Sure.
You know, to free people from tyrants. But Yeah, I was one of these that just thought all war was good war.
I know.
You know, and he's getting us out of all those stupid wars our politicians have gotten us into.
I know,
so
exactly.
Less military being killed.
Yep, absolutely. Better trade deals. Come on, he's the master negotiator.
Yep.
And he believes in the American people, as
yes,
do
does.
We. Increased religious rights and religious freedom. I mean, we could go on and on and on as to why we believe. I mean, if you are on the other side, you might want to go through number 9 and then just cut us off. It's okay. We're good with that. So we just gave you 10 reasons to be joyful.
Yeah.
And you might be sitting there going, but I've got the target. I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unhappy. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
It, Jody, you talk about it all the time. It's what we're paying
mm-hmm.
attention to.
Number one. Of why our lives are where they're at.
Yeah.
Why we are who we are is what you pay attention to. Proverbs 4:20 says this. My son, he's talking to us Christians. Attend to my words, meaning look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to my words. Read your Bible. Look at it. Read it. Meditate on it. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listen to it. Listen to it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. There it is again.
Yep.
Always look at it.
What
always look at
on.
It. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. Meditate the word. Meditate the word. Notice. Attention. Pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. For they are life unto those that find them. Find the truth of God's word. Because you can read the Bible and it mean nothing to you. It cannot, you know, it can be meaningless to you. Just words. But he means find the truth in God's word where it begins to set you free. Where you start seeing the answers.
Yeah.
It starts unraveling the mysteries of why, you know, life is the way it is. And it says, and it is health to all your flesh. Pay attention. Now, acknowledge today, what am I paying attention to? Do you pay a lot of attention to entertainment? Do you pay a lot of attention to Instagram? Do you pay a lot of attention to the news? It's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're listening to. It's who you're hanging around. It's what you think about at night when you're laying there in bed. That is what's forming and developing who you are, the pictures you have of your life, where you're going. Take, for example, a professional athlete. What do they pay attention to? If you're a professional basketball player, I guarantee for many, 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 many years, you paid attention to basketball. You watched videos. You read books. You hung around coaches. You hung around other players. You learned. You studied. You meditated. You imagined yourself being in the NBA. I mean, they are full of basketball.
That's right.
All because they set their eyes, they set their mind, they set their focus, and they listened to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So we as Christians, if you have a target on your back, if depression is trying to weigh you down, trying to stop you in life, one thing, start looking to God. There's one more scripture I'm going to give, and I love it. It is, I believe, Psalms 16. I mean, this is the key to a happy Christian life. Psalms 16:8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. So that means I'm looking at him. I'm talking to him. I'm paying attention to him. He's always there. He's always right there. And it says, because he is at my right hand. Oh, look at, he's not only in front of me, he's right beside me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now, what we're talking about today, therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. So right there, pay attention, listen, and all of a sudden, you will start feeling those doldrums shake off. You will start feeling the weight and the pressure of the problems and the lies of the devil. They have to go if you're giving your attention to God, because that power, that spiritual force of faith in God has to remove Amen. The shackles of sadness and depression.
Amen. Amen. So you guys, joy is a powerful, powerful force. Remember, we can't cry and complain ourselves into victory.
Nope.
It doesn't work. Doesn't work like that. And true joy comes from our salvation in knowing who Jesus is. And so this week, you know, we always want to challenge you emotionally, challenge you mentally. And I think that we would say that's it.
Yeah.
What are you focusing on?
Yep.
If you are watching the news and what's going on 24/7, I guarantee you, you're probably not feeling a whole lot of joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you're looking to. So yes, set God before you. I love that. He's out in front. He's surrounding us.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that you'll take these 10, pick one. You know, you pick one thing. You go, man, that's me. I got to focus right there. You pick one thing, determine what you're focusing on, start focusing on the right things, and you will see that joy meter, you know, start to really spike up. And so, you guys, as always, thank you so much for listening, for being a part of the Soul Gym. We thank you for your support. We ask that you'll not only just tell your friends, but that you'll share this.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got somebody who is really dealing with depression, maybe there's a nugget or two in here that can encourage them today. So share, share, share. And as always, we will catch you next week right back here where we continue to go after faulty thinking and develop mental muscle. Because when you're strong inside,
mm-hmm.
you get strong outside, and you get to fulfill God's audacious plan for your life.
Woo!
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.